686-2237.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for flexible...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, we're hoping to get a Joyce Riley on the line. But if we don't, of course, we'd be glad to have you give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because there's really so many things going on today that I think we have to be concerned about. I think one of them certainly is the very real threat of a war with Iran. This whole situation, as far as the public uprising in Tehran after the election of Ahmadinejad. Basically, the polls that were taken before the election show that Ahmadinejad was going to win the election by twice as many votes as his closest opponent. So they knew Ahmadinejad was going to win. Then who put out the story that Ahmadinejad didn't win, that his opponent did? And we have to understand that if you go up on the internet, fortunately, you can. These things are all available there. You can Google in $400 million, $400 million, CIA disrupt Iran or overthrow Iran. You will find out that President George Bush signed an executive order that gave the CIA $400 million to destabilize, to disrupt the government of Iran. Now, that is an act of war, ladies and gentlemen, and this was done about 2 years ago, and we hired a group of terrorists, and they went around killing and assassinating people. Oh, the CIA didn't. The CIA just hired people to go around and blowing up mosques and of course, killing people. And, of course, then, of course, we wonder who might very well have been responsible for creating those demonstrations. Let me tell you one thing, and that is that you don't get thousands or hundreds of thousands of people out on the street unless somebody organized the effort to overthrow the Iranian government. Now, we know that this from history. The CIA organized the demonstrations in 1953, which led to the overthrow of President or Premier Mossadegh, who had been democratically elected in Iran in 1953. We know that the CIA financed the overthrow of the Shah in 1979, and that's why a lot of Iranians, even if they do not like the mullahs and don't like Ahmadinejad, they certainly do not like the Americans far more. And it is because they know that we overthrew the democratically elected government in 1953 and then overthrew the tyrannical Shah that we installed in 1979. And they, of course, don't realize, of course, we installed the mullahs in 1979. They can't really understand, of course, that we have created this cauldron of seething cauldron of discontent, I believe, of course, to justify a coming war with Iran. I think it's only a matter of time. We're just conditioning the American people to be willing to accept it. But right now, we do have Joyce Riley on the line. And I'd much rather hear what she has to say than what I have to say, because I already know what I'm going to say. Joyce, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure. It really is. Thank you, Dr. Stanley.
Will you tell us what we're going to talk about today? Because I know you are on the cutting edge of so much of what's happening.
Well, I don't know about the cutting edge, but I'll tell you, we're getting a lot of input from what's going on in the military right now, that they are so far ahead of where we think they are as far as containment, control. And I think that the communications ability within the military right now is such that there's nothing really that goes on within anything in law enforcement or anything in the military that they don't know about. I mean, literally, every word that we say and speak is probably being put down for posterity.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Joyce Wiley. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest for this next hour is going to be Joyce Wiley of the Power Hour. She does a three-hour program every morning, and of course she's on the satellite with us, and if you get to our satellite site, or if you go to my site, then you can actually then go to our satellite uplink, and then of course you can listen to Joyce 9 hours a day, just like you can listen to our program. But Joyce is just saying that as far as the military is concerned, everything that goes on in our society is being monitored. And actually, of course, we know from the writings of Lieutenant General William Odom in his book, Fixing Intelligence. It was written in 2003. He was head of NSA, the most secret of all the spy agencies, far larger than the CIA. He was a patriot. He couldn't tell us what was going on, but he could ask questions in his book, like, should the Defense Department be keeping dossiers on American citizens? And they are, and of course they're keeping them today. So you pick up the story there, Joyce.
Well, they're keeping everything today. And I think that we're kind of naive to realize what an amazing web has been weaved around us from law enforcement and military. Let me give you an example of an item that the military has that I was not aware of. So, I mean, that doesn't mean anything, that just because I'm not aware of it. But it was brought to my attention now that the military has a new handheld radar device that is designed to see through walls, ceilings, and floors to give soldiers the ability to spot enemy forces, or as they say, bad guys inside buildings. Now, you notice it used to be that we would talk about it was our enemy. Now it is just a bad guy, no definition, of course. And the Program Executive Office soldier is now developing a sense-through-the-wall technology. And whenever they say they're developing it or someday they might have it, they've already got it or they wouldn't be talking about it. And anyway, it is harder for individuals to hide inside of a home, inside of a building, inside of anywhere. They can go up stairwells. And this machine, and I've seen how it works, it literally has a pinpoint wherever a person is in the home. Now, if the person moves in the home, it will follow them, and you can see it right on the radar screen. So if military people have that, and, of course, what are they doing? They're looking at domestic terrorism as being the next big source of where the money's going to go, is because we got to protect us from the bad guys right here in the United States.
And, of course, the bad guys are the good guys. They're the ones who believe in the Constitution. The bad guys are the ones who are in control. We'll be right back with Joyce here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Joyce Riley is talking about the technology that the military has. They can look into your home right through the walls. They can pinpoint where you are. They can pinpoint your movement. They have amazing technology. Of course, we've invested in all of this. We thought it was to protect us from the wicked communists, or maybe even the wicked Osama bin Laden, because he wanted to take away our freedom. What the average American does not understand is that this technology was actually developed so that they could control the American people. In fact, it's simply they want to control everybody in the entire world. We've financed communism since its inception. We financed the Taliban. We financed Al-Qaeda. We actually are financing communist China today so they can do a better job of monitoring their people. We're working in close conjunction with them, and they're, of course, working in close conjunction with us. But we can't let the American people know that. Now, Joyce, certainly I'm well aware of this technology, but where can the average individual out there learn about this technology that has been developed not to protect us from our foreign enemies, but actually so they can control our population and, of course, monitor the actions of every American citizen like we saw in the movies Eagle Eye, like we saw in the movie Enemies of the State? Somebody was trying to warn us this technology is out there. But, of course, the government's been denying it. Oh, no, we don't. We would never listen to your telephone calls. Why, that's against the law. Ladies and gentlemen, they've been doing it for 30 years through Project Echelon, listening to your telephone calls, reading your emails, reading your faxes. And they have their whole system of informants all across America. But the average individual has no idea. Go right ahead, Joyce.
Well, and I think that the manipulation that's going on with the military right now is so in our face. You know, of course, they're telling us that we're going to be coming home from Iraq, so they made this big, huge showing in Baghdad. And, you know, it's all about propaganda and what the people will believe. And so we've got the people believing that, oh, yeah, the troops are coming home, they're coming home. No, we're sending them more and more over to Afghanistan now. 20, 30,000 troops at a time are leaving. And so we're building up the military. At the same time, we're telling everybody that they're not, but that's the focus. You know, where people can find this information is, I think they have to go to the military websites. They need to go to Army Times, go to Air Force Times, go to Military Times. If you're really interested in what's going on in the military, and I think you're going to be shocked, because what is going on in the military right now is so much crime. And so many homicides and so many, I mean, they're right now making a course that is a required course for all military people to take for rape prevention. Now, wait a minute. I mean, that's like saying we need to have a program to tell them that they shouldn't, you know, don't do murder. I mean, just the fact that you tell them not to rape somebody and that that's against the law ought to be enough. Why do we have to have a course? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the problem is so great in the military now that they're having to try and do rape prevention. So everybody's required to attend so many hours of rape prevention programs. And that's for the guys not to rape the girls. And I just find this amazing to where our military is going today. Now, in the area, what I'd like to cover today or what I'd like to talk about is this issue of Private Bergdahl from Idaho, number one. And then I want to talk a little bit about the swine flu vaccine, the new biodefense regulatory status index of this, and the fact that Israel has now told every single person in Israel that they are going to have the biometrics. They are going to have a chip in their card. So I want to talk about those three things if we could. Number one, this issue of Private Bergdahl. What you're hearing on television right now are two distinct stories and support of what's happening to this man. This man from Idaho obviously was taken.
Was it Idaho or Iowa?
Idaho.
Idaho, okay.
Yeah, he from Haley, Idaho. He was obviously taken. We don't know why or how, but I don't hold out a lot of hope for this young man, and I'll tell you why. But the friends and the family obviously have been praying for his safe return. He's a 23-year-old man. He was serving with an Alaska-based infantry regiment when he vanished. And he vanished 5 months after arriving in Afghanistan. He was serving at a base near the border of Pakistan in an area that they call a Taliban stronghold. Well, he vanished weeks ago, and his family's known about it for weeks. But CNN is carrying a distinctly different story than is Fox News. CNN is saying, oh, this poor man, we hope he comes back, praying for his family, let's focus on this poor town who's trying to get him back. Fox News is saying, this man is a disgrace. He's an embarrassment to his men. He went out, he was where he wasn't supposed to have been, and he got taken. Now, I think the truth is somewhere in between, but I think what has happened here is that this man may have been speaking out against what was going on. Could be, could not be. I'm just guessing at this point. I have nothing to support this. But what happened was he was taken by someone. We don't know who. They put a video up on the television, and the alleged Taliban is now saying, well, he was drunk, and he was where he shouldn't have been, and that's why he got taken as a hostage. Well, he gave a 28-minute interview in which he kind of spilled his guts about why we shouldn't be there and we need to bring everybody home, and you know, he wishes he was home and all that, which I would say also, I wish I were home. But it was 28 minutes of things that they're not showing you on television right now. I happen to believe that perhaps his statement is fairly real about what his feelings were, and now they're trying to play down his disappearance, and I really don't hold out high hopes that he's going to be found. The reason being that it benefits this country more, and I think you'll agree with this, Dr. Stan, to have an atrocity and have this poor man from Idaho brutally murdered by the alleged Taliban, or whoever's going to do it to him, than to have him returned. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would, because, of course, what they want to do is portray the Taliban as wicked and evil people, which they are, but everybody's forgotten they were primarily financed by the American government.
And are still, probably,
yes. But anybody wants to check that out, we got a wonderful book, The Devil's Game. But anybody can read George Bush's speech on the 20th or 21st of September 2001, where he tell you that the United States was the major source of humanitarian aid for Afghanistan. Well, that was the major source of humanitarian aid for the Taliban. We were the primary financiers of the Taliban, and now we're killing them. So there's something wrong with this story.
It really is. And the very fact that Fox and CNN are treating it totally differently tells me that somehow their talking points from the Pentagon are a little bit different, or at least in the manner in which they're carrying this story. But, you know, they're saying, well, it couldn't have been alcohol. He couldn't have been drunk. That was the DOD's response. He couldn't have been drunk because there's no alcohol allowed in Afghanistan. Well, you go to the Army Times, and the letters in there to the editor, and there's warnings in there, quit sending alcohol to Afghanistan families, don't send it. Well, they've been sending it. I mean, there's ways to get it, and it may be provided by the U.S. military, who knows? I don't know. But I think that this is a very sad story. I think this man's going to be used, and I really actually believe that he believed what he said in his 28 minutes. And the only time you saw what his real feelings were regarding his being in Afghanistan was right after the event occurred, and there was a foreign report about that 28-minute interview with him, allegedly by the Taliban. However, we haven't seen that. We don't know. And they're saying, though, that he did want to come home. He didn't feel like we should be over there. Well, the DOD is not going to be really working very hard to bring this kid back home again then. And I think that he's not going to be made a hero of either. But I just think that if he was telling the truth about how he felt, he probably put himself in harm's way. But that's my own opinion on that story.
Well, anyway, he's a tragic victim of this whole unnecessary war. We should never have gone into Afghanistan, because even the government, the FBI, doesn't believe that Osama bin Laden was behind the attack on the World Trade Center. And anybody can check that out. Simply go to the FBI's 10 Most Wanted page and look up Osama bin Laden. Why is he wanted? Well, he's wanted for the attacks on the embassies in Kenya, but not for the World Trade Center. Government says they've got absolute proof he was behind it, but they've never shown us the truth. All they have is some tortured testimony. But the FBI doesn't believe it, or they would have put it on the page there for the 10 Most Wanted. So if we didn't really go in to get Osama bin Laden, why did we go into Afghanistan, and why are we fighting today? And, of course, they're trying to confuse you. I read the most incredible article by Thomas Friedman, who, of course, writes for the New York Times, saying, well, you know, a lot of people would say we shouldn't be there, but look at the children. Look at this one little child who's going to school there. And when we see this one little girl going to school in Afghanistan, doesn't that justify our troops being there? I mean, who can be against this little girl? And he writes this whole article about this one little girl going to school in Afghanistan. and somehow that justifies the American forces being there, and all of the citizens have been slaughtered, and all of the American boys have been crippled, because there's one little girl going to school in Afghanistan. Go right ahead, Joyce.
Well, and also I want to bring up another military issue that the retired, you probably are familiar of the major, I believe he's IRR or reservist major, who brought a lawsuit saying that he was not going to go to Afghanistan based on the fact that the president was not the president. Have you all been dealing with this story?
Well, we haven't talked about it. You pick it up. I know about it, but you pick it up because I think it's an important issue.
Well, it's gotten even bigger because as a result of that, Dr. Orley Tate filed this lawsuit. They were supposed to go to court last Thursday.
And they canceled his deployment to Afghanistan.
Correct.
And the last thing they want is anybody to get into court and say, hey, the president was born in Kenya. The people in Kenya say he was born in Kenya. His grandmother said he was born in Kenya. His half-brother says he was born in Kenya. He doesn't have a birth certificate, you know, that shows he was an American citizen. And they've spent almost $1 million fighting this. All he has to do is show the birth certificate. Obviously, he doesn't have one. It doesn't exist. We'll be right back with Joyce Riley. Well, Joyce, go right ahead.
Well, the suit has now got more push to it, if you will, because they fired him, and I'm talking about his employer. Now, he was a reservist, so he had another job, and it was a defense contractor. The Department of Defense put the pressure on the defense contractor to fire Major Cook, which they did. Well, last week, Cook filed a request in federal court seeking a temporary restraining order and status as a conscientious objector. But then he got fired by his employer. Now, the military is not going to want him, or they may bring him up now on a major, I'm not sure whether it would be court-martial or whatever they're going to do at this point, but they're not going to let him go. They're not going to let this stand. Now, however, for the good of this case, and I'm talking about with Dr. Orley Tates, who's been bringing the actions regarding Obama's failure to produce a birth certificate, in a pleading that was revised after the revocation of Cook's orders, after the Department of Defense revoked his orders to go to Afghanistan, Tates argued that the application for preliminary injunction is not moot, and now a retired Major General, Major General Carol Dean Childers, an active U.S. Air Force reservist, Lieutenant Colonel David Earl Grafe, have now joined that suit because they say it is a matter of unparalleled public interest and importance because it is clearly a matter arising from issues of a recurring nature that will escape review unless the court exercises its discretionary jurisdiction. So now the court has been, or now the case has been joined by a two-star general and a U.S. Air Force reservist. So I'm thrilled to see that this Air Force Lieutenant Colonel and Major General are now going forward in this case also. I do think the case has legs. I do think it's going to go somewhere, and I think that it's going to only get bigger. Now, the individual on CNN that Dodd, what is his name? I can't think of his name.
You're not talking about Christopher Dodd.
No. CNN, CNN reporter has now said that he is going to pursue this issue of the failure of him to have a birth certificate. I thought it was interesting when I heard them talking about this on CNN because they had a whole panel of people sitting around and they're discussing the failure of him to produce the birth certificate. And the talk show host, the anchor, said, I got so many phone calls after I addressed this issue from all the major media saying, why are you talking about his failure to have a birth certificate? And he said, I turned to them and I said, no, you don't understand. The question is, why is he not producing his birth certificate? Then they had another black gentleman on there who was an expert, and he said anyone can produce a certificate of live birth. Anyone can produce that. A birth certificate is a whole different issue. So all this to say that I think the case is going to go forward. I think it's going to get a lot of attention, and I think it's not going away, thank goodness, now that the mainstream news has picked it up somewhat. So I'm kind of glad now. Glenn Beck has not dealt with it, to my knowledge, and I think once he does, you know, it may get some legs also, though I don't put a lot of confidence in Glenn Beck. But it's still more access to the media, though. You know, one of the other things I wanted to mention is the influenza vaccine, the H5N1, which now looks like it's going to be, there's going to be five different companies making it, but GlaxoSmithKline, someone was able to get a hold of the information sheet on this vaccine. The name of it is Prepandrix. And if you want to check
hold
it out...
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, our guest is Joyce Riley. She's just been talking about the fact that Barack Obama has spent over $1 million or almost $1 million defending against lawsuits that claim that he is not a natural-born American citizen, and he has absolutely refused to present a birth certificate. He's presented a certificate of live birth, but you can always draw those things up yourself. But a birth certificate, of course, the government over in Kenya was going to erect a monument to the first Kenyan-born president of the United States. And, of course, people went over there and said, don't you dare put up that monument. But, of course, Barack Obama's grandmother claimed he was born in Kenya. She died conveniently. And then his half-brother confirmed the fact he was born in Kenya. Everybody in Kenya knows he was born in Kenya. But because of the blackout here in the United States, they can't let that be known. Because if it were known, why, of course, it would mean that he was not eligible to run for the presidency. And as they say, he spent almost $1 million fighting these lawsuits. And all he has to do is present a birth certificate. Actually, of course, when he went to college, he went to college as a foreign student. He actually got supplements of money to come to the United States as a foreign-born student so he could go to college here. None of this is being covered, or very little of this being covered, by the controlled media. Then Joyce started to talk about the H1N1 vaccine that they want to give us for a non-existent problem. Because, of course, this is not a deadly type of influenza. As of July 6th of this year, just a few weeks ago, there were only about 421 cases in the entire world in this pandemic. My goodness, we suddenly 421 people, you know, suddenly die every day in automobile accidents just here in the United States. But this is supposedly the whole world with this deadly epidemic. We're told, of course, that 36,000 people die of influenza every year here in the United States, yet we're going to have a massive campaign worldwide to vaccinate everybody for an epidemic that is not a lethal epidemic at all. Only 421 people as of June of this year, July 6th of this year, have actually died. So why are they doing this? Why are they creating this fear? Why are they trying to create panic in the minds of the American people so they're going to be willing to take an unproven, untried, experimental vaccine that contains things that could be deadly to your health and the health of your family? Joyce, you picked this up. You said somebody actually got the package insert or the specifics on the GlaxoSmithKline vaccine, and what does it contain that it shouldn't contain?
Well, of course, this is the H5N1, though, not the H1N1. But they did get a hold of the information sheet on the H5N1. And what I thought was interesting is that it's listed under, and of course, it's made by GlaxoSmithKline, but if you go to the Regulatory Status Index, it's in the biodefense stockpile. Listen to the number given to this in the biodefense stockpile that they're using. It is EU666. Now, the U.S. Biodefense Stockpile Regulatory Status Index is US666. Now, this is, you can go right to the GlaxoSmithKline website and see this. And I have to tell you, I was absolutely astonished to see that this would be so much in the face of the people. I mean, they might as well just say, hey, here's the mark of the beast. You want to take it, or shall we give it to you? Do you want to choose to take it, or shall we give it to you against your will? I mean, I am shocked by that. I am absolutely astounded that that influenza vaccine is listed in that nomenclature of EU666 biodefense stockpile and then US666.
Now, this is not the... This is this is the bird flu vaccine, not the swine flu vaccine.
Yeah, this is the bird flu.
This is the H5N1. This is not the H1N1 that they're trying to get us frightened to death about today.
But then what do we know they're going to give us? Because, I mean, like, if they tell me, I'm going to believe them. I mean, they tell us now it's going to have to be 2 vaccines. And for children, they may need 3. Well, so you now take 2 vaccines. Is one for the H5N1 and the one for the H1N1? Who knows? I don't know.
Well, they're telling us basically one is going to be for the H1N1. The other is going to be for influenza A, which we always get. And then we're going to have a couple of shots for this other type of flu, because it's going to take, of course, more than one shot to give us the immunity against this non-existent problem. This is the most incredible thing in the world. This is one of the mildest forms of influenza we've ever had, and they want to inject everybody. And the question is, why? Maybe Joyce can tell us that when we get back. But certainly, this is a replay of the swine flu vaccine that we had back in 1976. If you haven't seen the 60-minute program on that, go to the Vaccine Center. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Go right ahead, Joyce. Have you seen that 60-minute program in 1979 about the 1976 hysteria that they used and the propaganda that they used to get the people to take the swine flu vaccine in 1976 that killed so many people? What?
I have not seen that.
Oh, it's on the Vaccine Information Center website, or it's actually, you can, look, I'm sure you can get a YouTube on it, but the Vaccination Information Center website, somebody sent it to me, and they said, you want to watch this, it's going to take 20 minutes, and I said, 20 minutes? I don't have 20 minutes to watch. A 60-minute segment that was presented back in 1979, but I went there as a courtesy to the person who sent it to me. And here was Mike Wallace doing real investigative reporting. It was the most fascinating 20 minutes I ever spent. And it went into the whole lie that they told. You could see the government officials lie. You could see the propaganda campaign they put on to frighten the people. If you haven't seen that, you got to get it. And we've got a link on our website to it, and we're going to get one to it. It's something every American should see today.
I can't even conceive of people taking this vaccine. I can't even conceive of people wanting it, especially for their children. They're going to give it to people over 60 first and to children first. That's the latest story. I don't know what they'll actually do. But I am concerned that there's a lot of covert activity going on right now. I sort of accidentally got a invitation to attend the swine flu conference in Washington, D.C. We put it on the website at thepowerhour.com. So I went ahead and if you go to the news section at thepowerhour.com, you can actually see what they're going to be talking about. And a lot of it is going to be, about what to do when there is no food. I thought that was interesting, Dr. Stan. Is they're going to talk about what to do when the food supply is cut off. So you go check it out yourself. It's held in Washington, D.C. It's going to be in August. And it's cost $2,791 to attend for 3 days.
Are you going?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have $2,791, but you see, what they do is they require all the state health officials, local health officials, and to go to this thing, and they just increase their coffers by these.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Joyce is simply talking about the fact that there's going to be a conference in Washington, D.C., on the swine flu. This is being put on by the people in government. Officials are going to be sent from all over the country. It's going to cost about $2,500 to attend. But the topics are all listed there, and we'll have Joyce tell us where you can actually see what's listed. One of the things they talk about in this conference on the swine flu and the swine flu vaccine is, what do you do when the food runs out? Why are they talking about when the food runs out? Joyce, I mean, what does swine flu have to do with food running out?
I know. I thought that was really surprising, and I wanted to get it up on the Internet as soon as I could so people could look at it. But again, go to thepowerhour.com and click on the news section and scroll down until you come to it.
That's thepowerhour.com, www.thepowerhour.com. And you scroll down, and where will they find it?
Well, you have to go to the news section. You'll see news right there. When you go to the front page, it'll say news section, and then click on the news section, and then just keep scrolling through the news until you come to it, because it was there about 2 days ago, so it'll be down a little bit. But what I thought was interesting is, of course, they're talking about how to manage the people, meaning in the mandatory vaccine centers, and how to deal with all of the control of the people. But then I did not see anything, and though I did not go into it probably as much as I could have, I did not see any section on any quarantine. But there is a section there that you can go to on when cutting off of the supplies, what to do when the supply routes are cut off. That's what it is. What to do when the supply routes are cut off, including food. And I thought that was just, I mean, startling. Now, the average person is probably not going to react to it the way we are, but you have the appropriate reaction, which is, what in the heck does food have to do with taking a swine flu vaccine?
And here's what they're really talking about is quarantining whole districts of the country to prevent, of course, people going across state borders who might be spreading this deadly epidemic. Well, we don't know it's going to be an epidemic. Their philosophy is, well, this virus might mutate, and it might become deadly. And because it might mutate and might become deadly, we've got, of course, to vaccinate everybody. But the only trouble is, if the virus mutates, then we could rest assured that it is not a matter of might, but if the virus mutates, then the new vaccine is not going to be effective. And, of course, one of the other things, I talked to Dr. Blaylock just yesterday, and he assures me that he has on first-hand authority this vaccine is going to contain squalene, which is a substance they put into vaccines to mobilize the immune system. And he said, of course, we will have an epidemic of autoimmune disease after that, because this has never been authorized for use in the United States. So if they do put it in, they're going to use an experimental vaccine on our entire population. Why in heaven's name would they consider doing that when they acknowledge that the virus is not very lethal, but it might mutate? Well, of course, the sky might collapse tomorrow. An asteroid might hit the Empire State Building tomorrow, but I certainly wouldn't spend billions of dollars in preparation for it. Pick up the story there, Joyce.
Well, I mean, I think that there's anything that can happen, but this is obviously such an agendized situation. What we're looking at now and what I'm researching are the legal grounds that we can refuse the vaccine. So we're working with some attorneys and also some people in, hopefully, that will be in the know to help us understand how we can get out of taking the vaccine. Now, that may very well require you to have self-quarantine. And if that is true, and if you're going to have self-quarantine, then that means you had better absolutely be prepared 1,000% and have all the kitty litter and toilet paper and food and water and everything else that you're going to need. Because if you commit yourself to a two-week quarantine, I mean, you're going to have to do it. Now, I can't even say that we're going to be given the option to do that. But I would like to think that everybody is prepared for at least 2 weeks, that you can stay in your home and not go anywhere.
And, of course, I think everybody, of course, should say right now, I am not going to take that, because if enough people say they're not going to go along, they'll have to back down. the whole thing is pretty based upon fraudulent fear and panic. But if the people say we're not going to go along with it, there are not enough of them, even with the military, to round up millions of Americans right at this time and put them in concentration camps because they refuse to take an experimental vaccine. Besides that, why, there would be tremendous opposition, I would hope, within our military. What do you think, Joyce?
Oh, absolutely. I'm just overwhelmed by all of the things that they are hurling on us so fast. One other thing I wanted to cover is this slaying of the family at Beulah, Florida, the couple that took in all of those
children
that were special needs, they call them children. According to Military Corruption Now, they've just posted that a Hurlbut Field airman has now been arrested in the brutal killing of that wealthy couple that raised those developmentally disadvantaged children in Beulah, Florida. Staff Sergeant Donnie Ray Stallworth is one of seven men in custody after that chilling murder that occurred. Now that, as far as I know, maybe you can correct me, but as far as I know, that has not been on the front page. That has not been in the news. Military Corruption has learned that Stallworth was a member of the 1st Special Operations AC Maintenance Squadron at Hurlbut Field. That's in Florida. In Florida. He joined the Air Force 9 years ago and has been at the base since June of 2000. Had you heard that anywhere, Dr. Stan?
No, I haven't. All we're already hearing is that this was very well planned. It was planned weeks ahead of time. They knew exactly what they were going to do. And obviously, this was not primarily simply a matter of robbery. It was an intentional to murder. And I can't help but wonder, you know, if this is like David Berkowitz, the Son of Sam killings, which were satanic, the Manson clinics, killings which were satanic, the Jeffrey McDonald, Captain Jeffrey McDonald killings which were satanic. How could you get all of these people from all of these various walks of life to go in there with one purpose in mind, and that was to kill, not to steal, but to kill? There has to be more to it, and we're not going to get the truth out. The last thing they certainly would ever want is for the truth to get out about the Son of Sam killings or the Charles Manson killings or Captain Jeffrey McDonald killings or the dozens of other satanic killings here in America or the satanic covens that are working at the highest levels of our government.
And, you know, one other interesting thing occurred on CNN this morning, you know, those little, or Fox News, the little blonde info babes that all seem to have a law degree from somewhere and maybe never practiced law, but they look good and, you know, have cleavage and short skirts, and that's what Fox seems to be hiring right now. And I'm not being critical, I'm just saying that's the facts. They do. Well, they were talking, and they said, well, gee, I can't figure this out. We heard that this bird family was doing something really weird. We think they must have been mentally incompetent. They said that when letters came to the house for the children, addressed to his children, he sent them back saying that he had copyrighted their names. Now, I found this amazing. That was on Fox News this morning. I found that amazing that they would say that, and of course they said, see, that proves this man must have been crazy. Well, think about it. A lot of the people in the Patriot community have been copywriting their names because of the straw man issue. Are you familiar with that, Dr. Stan?
No, I'm really not.
Well, it gets into a whole lot of questionable law because I don't know enough about it to say that, you know, it's real or not. However, there are a lot of people I know that have been copywriting their names so that they cannot use the straw man or not create another a personage, basically. Well, I thought this was interesting that they had reported that this father was doing this, Mr. Bird, Bird Billings, I'm sorry, that he had been doing that. I just think that there's just a few weird things coming out, and it's going to be surprising what happens at the outcome of this.
I think that they're doing everything they can to confuse us by throwing in all sorts of extraneous things. This group, these men went in for one purpose, and that was to kill the family. But it was just the parents, not the children. Why would they want to kill the parents? Well, there really are people who want to kill other people. That's what the Son of Sam killings were all about. And, of course, David Berkovitz eventually told about the satanic cult that he was part of, the Process Church of the Latter-day Judgment, and not a word of that got into the general media. And anybody talked about it, they would always take you off onto all these crazy things, how David Berkovitz was obviously crazy, he didn't know what he was talking about when he said he was part of a satanic cult. Well, David Berkovitz eventually became a Christian, and he'll never get out of prison, but at least he's admitted about the satanic cult. I wonder why they're trying to create so much confusion with this other killing. And the issue was, it was a killing. It was a planned murder. Why? And, of course, nobody wants to talk about that.
Well, you know, I can't imagine talk nine people. I cannot imagine how you can talk nine people into going in, or eight people, whatever it was, into killing parents of developmentally challenged children. I can't even conceive that there would be two people on this planet that would be willing to do this, let alone nine people or eight people. I mean, it just is so outside anything we can imagine that they would kill the people that are taking care of these children. But be that as it may, that's another whole issue. One other thing I did want to cover, Dr. Stan, is the opponents of the biometric law in Israel right now are saying that this is a step to a true police state. Now, Arud Shiva, the IsraelNationNews.com, is now reporting that the first section of Israel's controversial biometric documents identification law was approved this past Sunday for its second and third reading by the Joint Knesset Committee. They have now approved and are pushing through, with the help of the Interior Ministry, to set up a database. It's going to include biometric identification information on every Israeli citizen. All citizens will be required to submit fingerprints and facial profiles to authorized government agents, and those who refuse so are going to face jail time.
Just like they do here, everybody has to have their picture on their driver's license, and the federal government has picked them all up. And now they have facial identification mechanism. That's why they don't want you to smile. There is a federal database with your picture in it and your fingerprints, but they can't tell the American people what this is about. But there really is a plan. This is why, of course, they're getting the GPS coordinates on every home, not in the United States, but in the entire world. Of course, we focus on what goes on in the United States, Joyce, but this is going on worldwide. They're identifying every home in the world, every person in the world. India has announced they're going to come out with ID cards for every one of their 1.2 billion population. But, see, the American people, you know, we're being, of course, confused with all of these side issues without understanding the master plan behind all of this.
And but the idea, though, that Israel would go along with this, did the people of Israel not remember the tattooed numbers in their arms? Do they not think that this is, I mean, a lot of the people are saying, wait a minute, I'm not doing that. That's exactly where we came from in the Holocaust. I'm not going to do that again. And this information is going to be stored in their little special chip and their ID cards, their licenses, their passports, their identification documents. And it mentions that there will be checkpoints set up to make sure they all have their ID cards. Now, this is so close to police state and so close to everything that I think they are probably trying to get away from, but maybe people don't remember what went on, you know, 40, 50 years ago. Maybe they don't know, or 60 years ago. Maybe they just don't recall. I don't know. But I found it interesting that Israel would be the next nation. Of course, there's about 24 other nations that do it. But after India, to say, sure, yeah, we'll do it to our people, too.
Well, until people understand that we're dealing not with a domestic problem, a worldwide problem. They have the satellites. We paid, you know, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars for it to spy on the wicked Russians. Of course, they're the enemy. Of course, nobody ever mentioned that we were financing communism. We have, going back to the Russian Revolution. We financed them all during the Cold War. And now those satellites are being used to monitor people right here in the United States. And they can zoom right in and they can read your license plate. They can read your newspaper. You know, with the amazing technology and science that we have developed, to protect themselves from the wicked communists who want to take away our freedom. Until people understand the enemy is not in Moscow or in a cave in Pakistan, he is in New York City and Washington, D.C.
That's right. And one other thing I wanted to tell you all about is that there was a huge military medical mistake that has destroyed this airman's life, pretty much. I mean, as he knew it. We talk about health care, government health care. We all know that if you've been involved in government health care, you know what that's all about. You know, they always talk about wanting to take tort reform away, that people file lawsuits for, you know, nefarious reasons. Well, I don't believe that because I worked on, you know, as an expert witness in medical malpractice lawsuits for so many years. Those cases don't get anywhere if they're a frivolous lawsuit. However, now here's an example of what happens in military medicine or, if you please, government medicine. Last week, a 20-year-old man named Colton Reed, who was from Arlington, Texas, now in the Air Force, had surgery to remove his gallbladder. It was a simple laparoscopic surgery at Travis Air Force Base. He was in surgery, and the doctor, though, unfortunately, lacerated the aorta. In cutting the aortic artery, they didn't seem to realize it immediately, and obviously his belly filled up with blood, and they didn't transport him in a timely fashion. They let him stay there, and they didn't even have a vascular surgeon. They did not transfer him to UC Davis, which is what they should have done. Anyway, so much blood was lost by this man in his belly in those 5 hours while he was awaiting transfer for a vascular surgeon that his legs were not getting any blood, and they had to amputate both of his legs. Now, the sad part of this whole thing is that so many rules, regulations, if you will, were broken with respect to medicine. I mean, they failed to diagnose, and I'm just telling you as if I were reading this as a case that I were reviewing for MedMal attorney, is that they failed to diagnose his case appropriately at that time in a timely fashion. They failed to operate under the acceptable standard of care, which is you don't lacerate the aortic artery or the aorta. They failed to refer him in a timely fashion, and they failed to transport him in a timely fashion. Now, the Air Force is known for these things called helicopters, and there's absolutely no excuse why he could not have been air-evac'd out of Travis Air Force Base in a fashion that they could have probably saved his life. Now, I mean, I can't make that medical judgment, but still, all of this to say, after all of those things were deviated from, the standards of care that were deviated from, this man cannot sue. This man has no recourse. This man will not be able to get a penny for losing his legs. Now, that's government medicine for you right now. Think about it if we have government medicine, not just in the military and for Medicare, but imagine trying to sue the government. It's not going to happen. Now, I'm not for filing lawsuits, but I'm also not for having to cut off a guy's leg because you did not transfer him in a timely fashion.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. I guess Ben Joyce Riley of the Power Hour. Well, Joyce, it's a tragic story, and certainly you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I'm just saying that that's what government medicine is going to be. If you think you have trouble going up against the government now, and by the way, the government has now said that they are actually going to have a regulation that says a government official may influence or tell a physician how to practice medicine. Now, the Republicans tried to get that taken out of the bill. The Democrats refused. It's still in the bill. So I cannot tell you what a mess we're going to be in if we have government-approved medicine or government-promoted or government whatever, single payer, I don't care what you want to call it, socialist medicine. It's just going to be awfully sad. But I think that we're going to have to start getting more verbal in what we do. Just like the recent news conference that was done in which a lady stood up, showed a flag, and said, "This is my flag, I'm not going to lose it, and I want my country back." And then she said, "Let's pledge allegiance to the flag." And the man that was doing the meeting, who happened to be a representative, the only representative from Delaware, Mike Castle, he said, "Well, shall I lead the Pledge of Allegiance?" And somebody from the audience yelled up there, "Do you know what it is?" I mean, literally, they were confronting this guy because he would not address the issue of Obama not having a birth certificate. Well, that's only one example where people are standing up, they're standing tall, they're not backing down, and they're letting their voice be heard. And we have got to do it now more than ever on the swine flu vaccine, or we are going to be in the midst of a mandatory requirement that is going to create illness, morbidity, and mortality among all of us. And I personally am not going to participate in it. I'm not sure what I'm going to do right now, but Dr. Stan, I'm not taking the shot. Are you taking the vaccine?
Absolutely not. In fact, we're doing everything we can to explain to the people why you can't trust the vaccines. The vaccines are very effective. Don't think for 1 minute they're not effective. It is the fact that they're not safe. And being effective, why they stimulate the wrong part of the immune system. They do not give you permanent immunity, but what they do is they turn on the T cells and they create autoimmune disease, which attacks the brain, attacks the heart, attacks certainly every aspect of our body. And certainly, I think it's vitally important people understand how to discuss this. All the mistakes that have been made in the past, we're putting together some information on that. We'll try to have it available before this whole thing comes down. Our guest has been Joyce Riley from the Power Hour. You can listen to her every morning or go to our website, radioliberty.com, and go to listen and listen on our satellite feed. You can hear her there 9 hours a day. Bye-bye, Joyce. God bless. Talk to you later.
Thank you so much.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope you enjoyed our conversation with Joyce Riley. I always do. I look forward to talking to her once a week. She's here on the fourth Wednesday of every month, and of course, always a great source of information. And let me recommend the Power Hour. Get her information, understand what is going on now. Of course, Joyce spent a great deal of time talking about the danger of this new vaccine they want to put out for the H1N1 pandemic, which is a non-event. And certainly most of the people who died, whether they died from this or not, most of them had compromised immune systems. They had many other illnesses, and that's why they died. This is not a deadly virus. And, of course, as we pointed out repeatedly, according to the CDC, 36,000 people die of influenza in the United States every year. So far in this terrible, deadly pandemic that they're spending, I think, well, they've already put aside about $8 billion just to give the vaccine. They put aside $1 billion that they spent to produce the vaccine. So far, as of the 6th of July, the World Health Organization in the entire world had listed, I think, about 421 people who were infected. Who had actually died with the disease. And they claim that they're sure there's 1 million people who have had the disease. I think probably it's spread to most of our population, and most of the people are already immune to it. It is not a problem at all. But this whole effort to vaccinate the public has another agenda, and I'm not sure what it is. But I've heard from reliable sources they've got squalene in there. This is going to be experimental. There's not going to be time to test it and to see what happens a few months or a few years down the line. They want to give this to the whole population of the world. There are people who really want to kill off most of the people in the world. If you haven't heard my talk on planned population reduction, you need to get that. My talk on population control, my talk on non-dare call it genocide, they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a copy of the report, the National Security Study Memorandum report that was put out by the State Department back in 1974, it was a top secret report, NSM 200, signed by Henry Kissinger, talking about how we had to limit the population of the world so that these people would not have large populations, so that we could exploit their natural resources and they would not become industrial powers that would threaten the dominance of the United States. That's what it was all about in 1974. This report was concealed for many years. Top secret. It's been released. You can get it from Radio Liberty. It's about 250 pages. NSSM 200. You need to get our 4-tape set on vaccines. You need to get our 4-CD set on Vaccine Update 2009. you need to get the DVD we have by Dr. Russ Blaylock, Vaccines and Brain Development. It is not simply by accident that actually, according to the CDC, one in every 166 children out of 10,000 children have autism today. That's 166 children out of 10,000. That is not one in 166 children. It's one in about 60 to 70 children had autism today. Their lives are destroyed, and first, those are the ones who took the vaccines. The Amish children who don't take the vaccines, while you almost never see autism, you do not see allergy. One in every nine child in America has asthma today. Why? Well, because the vaccines prime the immune system. And that's far more important to make the money for the vaccine companies than to tell people, of course, that vaccines are very, very effective, but they're not safe. And we have an explosion of autoimmune disease. We have an explosion of juvenile diabetes, which, of course, comes about because of an autoimmune response. Why isn't anybody telling the American people? Well, that's why you listen to Radio Liberty. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection